We were talking about.
We were talking about negotiating and people bidding on properties and how a seller can say yes to an offer and then it falls through and they take someone else's offer. And before I get into the divorce and credit, I wanted to just speak about that and credit, because when you have your realtor go in to negotiate with a seller, it's a great idea to bring a copy of your FICO score printed out from the MyFICO site if you have a 740 and above FICO score.
Well, what that's going to do, you know, the sellers don't even think about it half the times. If all of a sudden one person who's making a bid happens to say, and by the way, the broker presents that person's credit score also, it will make him think when the second person has a bid that maybe it's higher. Gee, well, why didn't that person give me the credit score? It's a powerful tool. Because even if the seller never thought about it, then you show your credit score. Now there's another offer. And now it comes to the attention. Well, then why doesn't the other guy have his credit score? Maybe he's hiding something. So, but when you're negotiating, which we, you know, we're going to be talking a little bit every week on, remember what I told you. You negotiate from what you have that's strong. So if you're giving all cash and you're offering full asking price, well, that's a strength. But if you are asking less than asking price, but you have a great credit score, that's another strength.
Right.
So that's great advice, Tracy.
When you print it out, if you have a high credit score, the actual FICO printout is going to say that your score is well above the average score of U.S. consumers and clearly demonstrates to lenders that you're an exceptional borrower. So your realtor can go in there and fight for you based not just on your pre-approval letter, but also on the fact that you're an exceptional borrower. And that could be the difference between them taking a little more money from somebody else.
Exactly. Because
they know that you have proof in hand that you're going to be approved much more likely than somebody who you haven't seen their credit score, you don't know.
And tell you, and I, you know, sellers, I tell you, you do not take a buyer and go to contract with them unless you have
pre-approval.
So that's great advice. Now tell me about the
Let's talk about the divorce and credit. So this is the issue with divorce, and I've seen it in terms of real estate problems in the future. A couple will get divorced, and part of the divorce agreement is that the mortgage is going to be refinanced out of both individuals' name into the person's name who now is going to have the house. That could be part of the terms, is that one person gets the house. But what happens is the divorce goes through. It's never refinanced out of the other person's name. And they don't even realize that until they're about to go and apply for a loan with their new partner, the person they're getting married to. Now they pull their credit and they see they have the mortgages still in their name with late payments in the last couple of years. Not only late payments, but some people didn't pay for like 6 months because they're going for a loan modification or whatever it is that's happening in this economy. Now that individual can't even buy a property because they have a mortgage in their name. Now it's causing the income requirement to be much higher because they have this debt that's owed in their name.
All right, wait, so slow down.
Okay.
Okay, well, let's just start from the beginning. So now I get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting married again. I want to buy something. And part of my settlement with my ex-husband is that he's getting the home.
Right. He got the home.
He gets the home and I got the cash.
Right.
Or whatever. And
right.
The kids.
Right.
He didn't want them.
Who got the better deal on that
okay.
one?
So I now say I move on. I meet somebody else. Mm-hmm. Or I don't meet somebody else. I decide I want to buy something my own.
Right.
And I go to apply for a loan. And all of a sudden, I'm still on his debt.
That's right. You're still on the mortgage because it was never refinanced into his name solely. He was supposed to
do
that.
So what has to happen, Tracy? When, let's say, the situation, you're getting divorced, somebody's going to get the house. Unless they, you know,
if you're getting divorced, you have to make sure that that person you were married to refinances the mortgage out of their name before you sign the divorce agreement.
Okay, did you hear that? Say that again. It's very important.
You have to have the mortgage refinanced out of your name into their name alone. So they have to qualify for the mortgage on their own, income-wise, and they have to have the right credit for that qualification to be approved. Once they start paying late on the mortgage, they may not be able to refinance it out of their name because now their credit score is low and the bank may not approve them. So it's very important that it happens right away because you don't know what's going to happen in life. And if something happens to their credit and they can't refinance out of that mortgage, which is in your name as well, or if they default on the mortgage, you signed for that loan. You're responsible. Even though in your divorce agreement it says that it's their responsibility now, you sign that mortgage contract with the bank. So that supersedes whatever the divorce agreement is.
So in other words, legally, okay, just legally, because so legally, if my divorce agreement allows for my ex-spouse to get the property and I'm getting something in its place, let's just say whatever I'm getting, then you're saying that if he doesn't pay, I'm still responsible?
Yes. Absolutely.
Unless you refinance out of both your names and into his
unless
name
you refinance.
Alone.
Well, so here's the deal, and this is really key. If you're getting divorced or you're just together and you own something jointly, and you split up and someone says, well, I'm going to be a nice guy, you know, and you're going to let somebody keep the house. If they don't pay their bills, they're going to still come after you, even though the court sanctioned that agreement.
Because it's just a decree from the judge. It doesn't have any. The bank still says, well, that's fine,
so
but
don't
you still owe
foolish.
Me the money.
That's why I tell people sometimes you're just better off selling the property and starting over again. Because if you keep it and you don't get your name off that deed and if you don't get your name off the mortgage, okay, you're going to be liable. And you don't want to have to worry about that. And you know something? I've seen it happen to a lot of people, the most responsible people. They say, I might not be married to him anymore or her, but she would never do that. They're so... You just never know, and why take
right.
the chance? And that is really good advice. And I think that's
one thing, though. There's another thing.
Oh
that's
no,
very
I
important.
Know, but I think that's so important.
It is. That's huge. The other thing that's extremely important is joint credit accounts. When you have joint credit cards, the first thing the divorce attorney says when you're going for a divorce is stop paying everything until we settle. Now, by the time the divorce is finished, you both have horrible credit. So it's very important not to have a lot of joint accounts if you're married, keeping your credit separate so that if and when you do have a divorce, you both have your own credit. There's no reason to stop paying.
And not only that, I had a lady call in. It was very sad. She was granted... if I recall correctly, she was granted the home as part of her settlement. No cash, just this home. And it was too big. She couldn't afford to keep it, but she was granted the home, but she couldn't afford to keep it. So now she went out to go buy another home, and she finally got a seller to buy hers. She had no credit because she was married. Her husband was the provider. She had a small job, but not much. So she never established her own credit. And I am telling you again, and Tracy, we should really do another show on that.
Absolutely.
On your children should establish their credit. You should establish. I don't care if your husband is a multimillionaire. All right. You need to have your own set of credit. And if you are marrying someone that might be somewhat irresponsible, okay, or doesn't have or you think might have a habit of paying bills late, you really need to then make sure that, you know, even though you're married, you keep it separate because that can happen. Or sometimes the wife forgot to pay the bills. All right. You know,
so what is good credit? Good FICO scores are 740 and above. That's excellent credit. So you want to make sure you check your credit scores at myfico.com because that's where you're going to get the scores that bankers use when you're applying for a loan. You don't want to have joint accounts if you can help it. This way, if you do get divorced, not paying the bills and having late payments on your credit report, which is going to drop your score well under a 740, and then you won't be able to get the credit cards, maybe get the rental property you need, or get the mortgage you need once you get divorced. It's extremely important to have separate credit. Also, if one person loses their income, you can sacrifice one person's credit when you're married, keep the other person's high, the scores, so that you can use it to live. So there's a lot of different reasons why.